Monday, September 21st, 1942. Dearest Kitty, today I'll tell you the general news here in the annex. A lamp has been mounted above my divan bed so that in the future, when I hear the guns going off, I'll be able to pull a cord and switch on the light. I can't use it at the moment because we're keeping our window open a little, day and night. The male members of the Van Dan contingent have built a very handy wood-stained food safe with real screens. Up to now, this glorious cupboard has been located in Peter's room, but in the interests of fresh air, it's been moved to the attic. Where it once stood, there's now a shelf. I advise Peter to put his table underneath the shelf, add a nice rug, and hang his own cupboard where the table now stands. That might make his little cubbyhole more comfy, though I certainly wouldn't like to sleep there. Mrs. Van Dan is unbearable. I'm continually being scolded for my incessant chatter when I'm upstairs. I simply let the words bounce right off me. Madam now has a new trick up her sleeve, trying to get out of washing the pots and pans. If there's a bit of food left at the bottom of the pan, she leaves it to spoil instead of transferring it to a glass dish. Then in the afternoon, when Margot is stuck with cleaning all the pots and pans, Madam exclaims, "Oh, poor Margot, you have so much work to do." Every other week, Mr. Kleiman brings me a couple of books written for girls my age. I'm enthusiastic about the Joop ter Hul series. I've enjoyed all of Sissy Van Marksveldt's books very much. I've read The Zaniest Summer 4 times, and the ludicrous situations still make me laugh. Father and I are currently working on our family tree, and he tells me something about each person as we go along. I've begun my schoolwork. I'm working hard at French, cramming 5 irregular verbs into my head every day, but I've forgotten much too much of what I learned in school. Peter has taken up his English with great reluctance. A few school books have just arrived, and I brought a large supply of notebooks, pencils, erasers, and labels from home. Pim, that's our pet name for Father, wants me to help him with his Dutch lessons. I'm perfectly willing to tutor him in exchange for his assistance with French and other subjects, but he makes the most unbelievable mistakes. I sometimes listen to the Dutch broadcast from London. Prince Bernard recently announced that Princess Juliana is expecting a baby in January, which I think is wonderful. No one here understands why I take such an interest in the royal family. A few nights ago, I was the topic of discussion, and we all decided I was an ignoramus. As a result, I threw myself into my schoolwork the next day, since I have little desire to still be a freshman when I'm 14 or 15. The fact that I'm hardly allowed to read anything was also discussed. At the moment, Mother's reading The House of Tevelink, and of course I'm not allowed to read it, though Margot is. First, I have to be more intellectually developed, like my genius of a sister. Then we discuss my ignorance of philosophy, psychology, and physiology. I immediately looked up these big words in the dictionary. It's true. I don't know anything about these subjects. But maybe I'll be smarter next year. I've come to the shocking conclusion that I have only 1 long-sleeve dress and 3 cardigans to wear in the winter. Father's given me permission to knit a white wool sweater. The yarn isn't very pretty, but it'll be warm, and that's what counts. Some of our clothing was left with friends, but unfortunately, we won't be able to get to it until after the war, provided it's still there, of course. I just finished writing something about Mrs. Van Dan when she walked into the room. Thump! I slammed the book shut. "Hey, Anne, can't I even take a peek?" "No, Mrs. Van Dan." "Just the last page, then?" "No, not even the last page, Mrs. Van Dan." Of course, I nearly died, since that particular page contained a rather unflattering description of her. There's something happening every day, but I'm too tired and lazy to write it all down. Yours, Anne. Friday, September 25th, 1942. Dearest Kitty, Father has a friend, a man in his mid-70s, named Mr. Dreyer, who's sick, poor, and deaf as a post. At his side, like a useless appendage, is his wife, 27 years younger and equally poor, whose arms and legs are loaded with real and fake bracelets and rings left over from more prosperous days. This Mr. Dreyer has already been a great nuisance to Father, and I've always admired the saintly patience with which he handled this pathetic old man on the phone. When we were still living at home, Mother used to advise him to put a gramophone in front of the receiver. One that would repeat every 3 minutes, "Yes, Mr. Dreyer," and "No, Mr. Dreyer," since the old man never understood a word of Father's lengthy replies anyway. Today, Mr. Dreyer phoned the office and asked Mr. Kugler to come and see him. Mr. Kugler wasn't in the mood and said he would send Meep, but Meep canceled the appointment. Mrs. Dreyer called the office 3 times, but since Meep was reportedly out the entire afternoon, she had to imitate Bep's voice. Downstairs in the office, as well as upstairs in the annex, there was great hilarity. Now each time the phone rings, Bep says, "That's Mrs. Dreyer," and Meep has to laugh so that the people on the other end of the line are greeted with an impolite giggle. Can't you just picture it? This has got to be the greatest office in the whole wide world. The bosses and the office girls have such fun together. Some evenings, I go to the Van Dans for a little chat. We eat mothball cookies, molasses cookies that were stored in a closet that was moth-proofed, and have a good time. Recently, the conversation was about Peter. I said that he often pats me on the cheek, which I don't like. They asked me in a typically grown-up way whether I could ever learn to love Peter like a brother since he loves me like a sister. "Oh, no," I said, but what I was thinking was, "Oh, ugh, just imagine." I added that Peter's a bit stiff, perhaps because he's shy. Boys who aren't used to being around girls are like that. I must say that the Annex Committee, the men's section, is very creative. Listen to the scheme they've come up with to get a message to Mr. Brocks, an Opetka company sales representative and friend who surreptitiously hidden some of our things for us. They're going to type a letter to a store owner in Southern Zeeland who is, indirectly, one of Opetka's customers and ask him to fill out a form and send it back in the enclosed self-addressed envelope. Father will write the address on the envelope himself. Once the letter is returned from Zeeland, the form can be removed and a handwritten message confirming that Father is alive can be inserted in the envelope. This way, Mr. Brocks can read the letter without suspecting a ruse. They chose the province of Zeeland because it's closer to Belgium. A letter can easily be smuggled across the border, and because no one is allowed to travel there without a special permit. An ordinary salesman like Mr. Brocks would never be granted a permit. Yesterday, Father put on another act. Groggy with sleep, he stumbled off to bed. His feet were cold, so I lent him my bed socks. 5 minutes later, he flung them to the floor. Then he pulled the blankets over his head because the light bothered him. The lamp was switched off, and he gingerly poked his head out from under the covers. It was all very amusing. We started talking about the fact that Peter says Margot is a Batinsky. Suddenly, Daddy's voice was heard from the depths. "Sits on her butt, you mean." Mushi the cat is becoming nicer to me as time goes by, but I'm still somewhat afraid of her. Yours, Anne.